conundrum. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Monday. Hope you had a relaxing weekend in part. If you could, stayed inside. It is freezing outside. So I hope you guys are cuddled up this morning, got a cup of coffee, cup of tea, as we dive into the day's news. Thank you, everyone, for subscribing to the channel and joining us here. On the show today, we're going to talk about Bernie Sanders' plan for stimulus, now that it seems that this $2,000 stimulus plan has hit a wall, thanks to Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia. We're going to talk about impeachment because the House of Representatives moves forward with impeachment today. They have a two-pronged approach, the 25th Amendment or impeachment, if Vice President Mike Pence doesn't move forward with that on the 25th Amendment side. Rioters have found themselves in a lot of trouble as they went back to the airport on their way out of Washington, D.C. We're going to show you some crying video of one of these protesters who found out that he was now on the no-fly list. And it opens up a really a broader discussion about what authorities knew and what they didn't know. There's been some accusations this morning leveled from the head of police. But guess what? They were told to stand down. They asked for help and didn't receive it. We're told none is coming. Interesting. Plus, will President Trump be able to build a media empire after he leaves office? Well, of course, not if he's behind bars, but will he be able to do it using conventional routes? Will he get the benefit of using Comcast cable or internet service providers or any of those things? I'm going to tell you about his uphill battle to build a media empire once he gets out of office. I've got a lot to get to on the show today, but first I want to tell you about our show sponsors, our good friends over at stamps.com. So why in the world would you want to go to the post office? Like, is there ever a reason to go to the post office? They bring the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to, and UPS, right to your computer, wherever you are. Stamps.com is a must-have for any business. Whether you're a small office sending out invoices or you're an online seller shipping out orders, simply use your computer to print out U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Your mail is ready. So, and guess what? You're going to get a free digital scale. Now, see here at the top of the screen when you go to stamps.com, there's a microphone up here, right at the very top of the screen. Click on that and put the code INVEST in the when you log in there. Put the code INVEST. You'll get a free digital scale and no risk. If you use that promo code INVEST, you get a special offer. Also, you get a 4 weeks trial of free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contract. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in INVEST. Again, the stamps.com promo code INVEST. Never go to the post office again. Make 2021 the year that you stop wasting time going to the post office and use stamps.com instead. This is something we use around our office. It's fantastic, and you're going to save a whole bunch of money on normal postage for your family or your small business. So our thanks to them. All right, let's get to the news this morning because we've got a lot to get to. Well, the House of Representatives is moving towards impeachment today. I think that's where we should start this show. Now, Mike Pence, so how this exactly is going to work is that Nancy Pelosi is going to float the idea of full-on impeachment resolution in the House of Representatives. But first, she wants to give Mike Pence the opportunity, she says, late Sunday night, that Mike Pence would enact the 25th Amendment. Now, he says he's not ruled out the effort. Mike Pence is saying he's not ruling out the effort to invoke the 25th Amendment, and he wants to preserve this option in case Donald Trump goes off the reservation again, becomes more unstable. This is according to sources close to the vice president. They said that there is some concern inside Pence's team, though, that there are risks to invoking the 25th Amendment or even to an impeachment process. They say Trump could lash out. He could take some sort of rash action, putting the nation at risk. And as of last night, Trump and Pence still have not spoken since Wednesday. I mean, just again, wrap your head around this. Last night we reported they still hadn't spoken. They still have not spoken. The vice president of the United States and the president of the United States haven't spoken since Wednesday. And many people are reporting, of course, that Mike Pence was the one who got the National Guard to finally show up while the White House was doing nothing. Remember, five people died, including a Capitol Hill police officer who was beat to death with a fire hydrant. The president has not made any public comments denouncing the death threats that have been posted on social media targeting Mike Pence. Or this, by the way, This is, listen to your screen. This is as they set up the gallows outside, and they are all chanting, "Let's hang Mike Pence." I'm sorry, you haven't called him? You know, like if my mom gets sick or something, like I'm going to call her, "Mom, how you doing? You got the flu? How are you feeling?" An angry mob storms the Capitol and wants to get Mike Pence and hang him. So Mike Pence, according to his sources, has finally got a glimpse of President Trump's vindictiveness. According to one source, said the president of the United States, you're now seeing it for the first time, that Trump is angry at Pence, and Pence is disappointed and saddened by Trump. But, I mean, what do you think? Trump put Pence in, of course, an impossible position, asking him to overturn election results during the joint session on Congress. And then, of course, when Mike Pence explained that he couldn't do it, and then he sent a letter to Congress saying he's going to follow the Constitution, then Trump, you know, took to the rally and said, "I'm hearing some bad things. Mike Pence, I hope you're going to stand up for me and the good of our Constitution. And if you're not, I'm going to be very, very disappointed in you." He said, "I'm not hearing good stories." Aides to Pence at this hour still outraged that he hasn't checked in on Pence after this.
Historic day.
America first! 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 Let's go! America first! America first! Yeah! What are they doing out here?
No, just say we love him. We love you, bro. No, he'll be happy. What do you mean? We're fighting for Trump.
Hey, hold it.
I can't get an outside line. I can
call the U.S. Senate, apparently. Okay.
So now of these people who have been arrested, most of the 120 so far who've been arrested or identified the Capitol riot were longtime Trump supporters, according to the AP analysis. Most of the 120 people have been arrested in connection or identified as being the Capitol riot through photos, videos, or longtime supporters of President Trump. They went through and found, like, corroborating posts on their social media and, you know, throwing their support behind President Trump. No surprise. And the real question this morning, of course, as we continue to pull back this onion, is that this whole thing was planned. We know that now. The planning for Wednesday's assault on the Capitol happened largely in plain view. It happened with chatter in right-wing forums, explicitly discussing how to storm the building. They talked about where to buy zip ties, they were going to handcuff the lawmakers, hold them hostage. And they were going to disrupt the certification of Biden's election. And the way that they said it online was, "We are responding to President Trump, who called on us to go and do it." And so far, this hasn't even really been reported. There was angry talk about, through Washington that day, Trump supporters exchanged detailed tactical advice about what to bring and what to do once they assembled at the Capitol building, according to reports. They were going to do what was called citizens' arrests. They were going to take members of Congress and conduct citizens' arrest. One poster on one of these forums said, "These effing zip ties, screw them. I'm bringing rope." And they did. They brought nooses and a gallows. And this had been going on as early as like mid-December. And they weren't confined to like the dark web either. They were actually scooped up and cataloged by researchers who made their findings public weeks before. So this Capitol police force that seemed like they were just overrun by thousands of rioters, they're like, "Where'd these people come from? We didn't know they were coming." Even members of the Senate, like Joe Manchin, said in an interview, "We knew that this was happening, so I didn't bring my normal amount of staff that day. I just brought my main advisor. Dude, that was it. We left everyone else home." and five people are dead. So the question left unanswered is, why didn't authorities prepare more effectively for a storm that, you know, any, look, the FBI does this on a regular basis, right? They pay attention to this stuff online. They're able to swoop in. Remember what happened in Portland? They were to stop a terrorist attack in Portland because they were tracking these guys. So all of this was happening in these online forums and no one did anything. Especially when they're these people who are planning this assault were so open about their intentions. I mean, they were calling it Storm and Occupy Congress, using handcuffs, zip ties. They had clear plans being laid out in these public forums. And of course, we also know, think about, when was the, David, do you remember, when was the plot to overthrow the Michigan Capitol building while Congress was in session? I don't remember when that was. They were trying to get Governor Granholm, and President Trump was like, not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That was like, what, October?
I believe so.
So we already knew that these things were unfolding. And it's really just mind-boggling that the police were not better prepared. So what's going on here? Well, according to reports this morning, the outgoing Capitol Police Chief is accusing the House Senate security officials of hindering efforts. This according to he told the Washington Post this. This is Capitol Police Chief who resigned on Friday. He said that multiple efforts were hindered during the Capitol riots to call the National Guard by the House and the Senate security officials. In an interview published Sunday night, they asked the Senate and security, House and security officials in the days before Congress was set to count the Electoral College votes, they requested the D.C. National Guard to be on standby. But the Capitol Police Chief told the newspaper that officials denied that request. He said the House Sergeant at Arms, Paul Irving, said he wasn't comfortable with the optics of declaring an emergency ahead of the protests. And the Senate Sergeant at Arms, Michael Stenger, who was also resigned, recommended Sund informally request the Guard to be ready for last Wednesday. He said his request at the head of the riots ended up being the first of six times that his calls for assistance would be denied or postponed. He said, if we had the National Guard, we could have held them at bay longer until more officers from our partner agencies could arrive. They finally arrived. You know, this started like at 2 o'clock. They finally arrived at like 5:30. Pentagon officials said that the D.C. police, the Capitol Police, didn't request National Guard ahead of the protest. So someone's lying. Who's lying here? Who's lying? Who do you think in the chat is lying? We knew well ahead of time that this was going to happen. Well ahead of time. This is no shock to anybody that this was going to unfold.
Hello. Hello, U.S. Senate. Yes, we have a fraudulent election, I would like to report. Yeah, we need to get our boy Donald J. Trump into office. Yeah, yeah. Can we do that real quick? Oh, yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Let's go. And it's yoga season. Yoga season. Let's go. Okay, America first is inevitable. Let's go! Fuck globalists! Let's go!
And this is not the first of these incidents that are coming. Michael Moore issued a statement. He believes that this is just the first of many that are going to be coming. He issued this ominous warning this weekend, and I want to play it for you, and the stuff that he's seeing and the things that he's worried about.
I was going to wait and do this tomorrow, but the sense of urgency I have about what I think is going on right now and why I believe that Wednesday was not the end of what we're going to be dealing with between now and Inauguration Day. In the last couple of days, there have been posters plastered all over Washington, D.C. and across many of our state capitals calling for an armed march, a march where you come with your guns, a march on the Capitol in D.C. And I don't really want to give it any attention in some sense. So I'm just going to say it's scheduled for a day during Inauguration Week. And they're calling upon all patriots to march on the U.S. Capitol and on all 50 state capitals with guns and take back our country. I was first shown this poster that they've created. It's been now over 2 days. And it was given to me by, well, actually two members of Congress shared it with me as they're very frightened about what may be happening in the next week and a half. And we all discussed whether or not we should post it. I posted it on my Instagram finally today, and Instagram took it down. They don't want to promote this potentially violent march, and I don't blame them. But I think it's important that you, the public, know about it. I've been watching the news here today. I don't see a whole lot of mention of it. They're certainly not showing the poster that's plastered all over the country.
I haven't seen it either. Have any of you seen it? I haven't seen the mainstream media covering it. All I've seen is them saying that Joe Biden plans to attend the inauguration and he will be on the Capitol steps as all inaugurations have been held. He plans to be there on Capitol steps. That's all I've seen. That's the only coverage I've seen.
And all over online. But that's the plan. And so I thought that I wanted to do two things tonight, and I'll try not to take too much time right here. One is to alert you to what I think is going to be happening. And the second thing is I want to talk about how Wednesday happened so that we can learn from that, we'll learn quickly from that, so that perhaps we can avoid some of what's being planned in the next 10 or 11 days. Now, I'm not doing this because I don't want to scare you. I've received a lot of mail from all of you this week and a lot of posts on social media about how depressed and despondent and horrified you are. And of course, if we are stuck in that place, it will be very hard to beat back these threats.
So this is serious. And there have been, this is what I think, Dave and I, you and I were texting the other day about this, like what Twitter is saying, that they've noticed an uprising in number of dangerous tweets about organizing, perhaps on the 17th of January, and coming together to take back the Capitol again. So this is, I mean, they're out there asking for this. What is the federal government going to do about it? The FBI, I guess, you know, set up their own website to be able to go after this. And so far, again, 120 people arrested or identified, charged. And people who were leaving the Capitol on their way back to their home were met with pretty stunning moments here. I want you to watch this amazing footage inside of the airport where this guy is trying to fly home after. And most of these people had flights, by the way. Like, they stayed in D.C. They went to the riot. They went to the Capitol, presumably. They were in the Capitol, trashing the Capitol. And then they tried to fly back home. And here is one of what one guy found out when he went to the desk to check in for his flight.
I want every single one of you. But this is what they do to us. They kicked me off the plane. They called me a fucking terrorist. And they want to fucking ruin my life.
Sir, please calm down. I was just talking to Delta earlier. We can't.
So this guy was told he's on the no-fly list, can't fly. My question on all of this, you know, I when I saw this last night, I thought, on the one hand, you know, I want to have a conversation about this because on the one hand, I think, you know, the immediate thing to say is like, oh, poor guy, right? He flies in, goes and he's part of a riot at the Capitol, storms the Capitol, smashes stuff, and then he thinks he's going to get on a flight and go back home. That's one reaction, right? The other reaction is, well, okay, if you're on a no-fly list, like, where's the due process? Like, why are you on a no-fly list? Has he been charged with anything?
Right, and how? And remember where's the proof that he was the guy that they saw in there anyway? Like, there's no, like you're saying, there's no due process. There's no investigation. Like, hey, we saw you. Like, was he outside? Was he inside? Like,
right. Yeah, were you inside? Were you outside? If you were inside, then why haven't you been charged? How are you then on a no-fly list? Did they identify you so that you're on a no-fly list? You know, I got into a little Twitter discussion last night about this, and a couple of my friends were sort of jubilant about this, posting this. And I said, well, wait a second. You know, do you remember after 9/11 when so many Muslim Americans were placed on a no-fly list, had no connection whatsoever to 9/11?
Anwar al-Awlaki was one of them, and he was assassinated with no due process.
So we should be, you know, I think it's very easy to be jubilant about, like, these guys on the one hand, right? Any of these guys who smashed things up, I hope they get arrested. I hope they get prosecuted. But in light of that, are you then you're going to take away their civil liberties to fly, but you're not going to charge them with anything? Or is that coming? At what point? But I guess my bigger question is, if you're so quick to be able to put these guys on a no-fly list, where the hell were you but when they were flying to Washington, D.C.? Right? Like, you knew this was coming. You knew these people were arming themselves, flying to the Capitol. So now you're very quick to, you identify these people. They go to the airport, and suddenly they've got, like, they're like, what? I can't fly? Now I'm on a no-fly list? Why didn't they have this, why weren't they added to this list 4 days ago?
When, you know, the thing
something's
is
going on here.
The thing that frustrates me is that people's reaction is immediately like, F that guy. We don't want anything to do with that guy. You remember the Monty Python scene where they're saying that woman's a witch? She's a witch. Throw her in the water. See if she. It's like,
right,
people
burn
just.
Her. Yeah, burn her.
They just have this reaction like, this person is automatically bad because somebody said he was bad because he was possibly at this thing. But. People need to allow due process as well. You know, saying you don't want anything to do with that guy. You don't want to sit next to that guy on a plane. You don't know this guy. We don't know that he was there. Like, it's like they have to provide no evidence to us that anything like that person was there. Yet, you know, there he is on a no-fly list. I mean, imagine that has happened to innocent people. Innocent people have been put on the do not fly list many, many times. And we just assume because they're on there. Just like if you see a cop come and arrest somebody, you're just assuming they're guilty and that they're a criminal. And some people's lives are ruined, even though they eventually get found innocent, because the public, they're judged by the public.
Exactly. And think about, even Senator, remember Senator Ted Kennedy was famously put on the no-fly list? And he called for an investigation. He's like, how in the world, like, is a sitting senator of the United States randomly placed on this no-fly list? Progressive vet here in our chat says, what do you say here? He or she, no fly list has never had due process. Glad to see that the FBI has started to take domestic terrorism real. They've been ignoring it for years. Yeah, suddenly they're paying attention to it. We're so concerned about brown people coming from the Middle East, right? We're so concerned about erecting border walls. But all of the terrorism that we face in the United States, almost all of it is domestic terrorism. All of it. I mean, go back to Timothy McVeigh. Go back to the Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski. I mean, you know, I mean, look what just happened up in Wisconsin a few weeks ago, right? The guy went on a shooting spree. I mean, this happens constantly, domestically. And what are we doing to stop it? Well, our money goes overseas. We care more about that. So now we're finally putting these people on a no-fly list. And we get these tears, these crying. He's upset. He can't believe it. I just took part in this protest, and they're ruining my life.
I love every single one of you, but this is what they do to us. They kick me off the plane. They called me a fucking terrorist, and they want to fucking ruin my life.
Sir, please calm down. I was just
talking to Delta earlier. Love everyone gets out their cell phone. Like, look at that guy. Say, I'm going to film this. I'm filming this too. The guy in front of me. We're all filming this. But the other side of me thinks, what do these people think was going to happen? They booked a flight to Washington, D.C., checked into a hotel, stormed the Capitol, smashed into the Capitol, defiled the Capitol, wiped feces all over the Capitol, which is what they did, beat a man to death, five people are dead, put up a gallows and a noose, call for the hanging of Vice President Pence, congressional leaders, called it a revolution, and then went back to the hotel that night. Checked into the hotel, went to like the hotel bar, like, hey, high five. What a day that was. You know, like they flew to D.C. to go to a Washington football game or something, you know?
Yeah, but what's weird is the way they basically ushered them in and then ushered them out. Like they're at a concert. They didn't arrest people on the spot. They just, okay, bye. Thanks for coming. Nice long line on the way out. Thanks for stopping by. Get a selfie on your way out.
If you want to get your t-shirts on the way out, we've got merchandising out there. You can get some hot, you know, you can get your roasted chestnuts on your way out. Take a roadie, take a beer on the road.
Because from what I understand, so there was zero arrests made that day, unless you know something.
Zero. No, I haven't heard anything. No, and it took them going back to their home states for them to finally come and arrest them. They're back in Texas, back in Florida, back in West Virginia, and the FBI shows up at their house. So they let them get on flights. Some of them got on flights. Others hit the no-fly list. So this impeachment drum is beating louder and louder this morning. And Senator Ben Sasse thinks, you know, there's a number. The real question is on the Republican side. So if Vice President Pence does, in fact, call for the 25th Amendment, then we don't have to worry about going through the impeachment process. But a number of Republican senators are throwing their support behind it now. Most recently, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. Let's listen to Senator Sasse.
An insurrectionist mob tried to disrupt the people's house. The dome of the United States Capitol is the most powerful symbol of freedom anywhere in the world. All over the world, there's actually polling that shows when you hear freedom or liberty, the most common image that comes to anybody's mind anywhere in the world is the dome of the United States Capitol. An insurrectionist mob came and marched on that Capitol after a rally with the President of the United States where he told them to come to the Capitol and to go wild.
We all know that. That leads to the question. Should the President of the United States be impeached or the 25th Amendment invoked?
So I think we need to draw a distinction between two really important things. One is the objective fact about whether or not the president was involved inciting this, and whether or not the president of the United States, by his constant addiction to stoking division, was flagrant in his duties to his oath. That's unquestionable. He was flagrantly disregarding his oath of office. So that's not in debate. The question is more of a prudential question. What is the best thing for America in 2022 or 2032? The question isn't what's best for Donald Trump. At a human level, lots of us should have pity for the man. But at the level of the office, I don't really care what happens to Donald Trump, the man, in 2023. What I care about is what happens to the American people in 2023. What brings 85 and 90 and 95% of our people together? The one thing that we know is that the American people rendered a judgment on Donald Trump's presidency, and they said, go now. They want him gone. And in 12 days, whatever the right math is, Joe Biden is going to be the president.
Senator Sasse, excuse me, but I'm really worried about time because I understand everything you're saying, but here we are, we sit here today, there are actually people in that crowd that think President Trump was leading them to the Capitol. I saw interviews with people saying, we're following the president. The question on the table right now is, what do you think should happen to President Trump? Should there be consequences, since everybody agrees, even his closest allies agree that he has incited this? What should happen to him now? I see you dancing all around it saying,
no,
you know,
that's not dancing.
Important. Well, just answer. Okay, I don't
Gail,
mean to
I'm
be disrespectful.
You know, I'm a fan of you and your work. I don't hear you being disrespectful, but I disagree with you. You said the most important question right now is what happens to Donald Trump. That's
yes.
not right. The most important question is what happens to the United States people and this union 12 days and beyond. Donald Trump has acted shamefully. He has been in flagrant dereliction of his duty. And he will be remembered for having incited this and for having drawn more division into an already divided people. That is who Donald Trump is. That is what his legacy is going to be. But I disagree with you that the most important question is inside the next 12 days. Mm-hmm. The most important question is what happens to America after the next 12 days. And not just 12 weeks and 12 months from now, but 12 years from now.
And the real question, though, is, you know, can he ever run again? I mean, blocking this guy from ever running again is a key piece of this entire process, right? I mean, that's why you would go forward with impeachment, regardless of the timeline. So again, at 2 p.m. Eastern time today is when Nancy Pelosi will caucus with the Democrats to bring up the next steps in the articles of impeachment. So we're going to be covering this for you this afternoon on our evening show as to what the Democrats say in our 4 p.m. By the way, if you're new here, please subscribe to the channel and follow us on Twitch, on Facebook. Be a part of our great community. We were back here at 4 p.m. Eastern with our other show, so we'll be covering that. But the real question is, you know, President Trump, could he run again? And if he's not able to now run again because of impeachment, would he then set up this massive media empire? We'll get to that in a second. But the next step in all of this impeachment process is I want you to follow the money. We wrote about this morning in the newsletter, and it's interesting because now you're seeing a number of Republican senators coming forward saying that they support impeachment. And I think it comes right down to the money, because a number of major corporations have now backpedaled and said that any money we've funneled to GOP representatives or senators, we are now pulling back on that. If you voted against President Trump's certification or President Biden's certification for president, we're pulling our money back. And that's a big deal. Now, with money talks, right? Like an armed insurrection, that's one thing. But now you're going to pull back our money. Most notably, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Senator of Missouri. All of these companies are saying, we're pulling our money from you guys. We want you to resign, get out. Will they do it? It'll be interesting to see. But, you know, we should also pay attention to like this hit. It's a big bowl of hypocrisy right now, because Blackstone CEO Stephen Schwarzman on Thursday said that the riot at the U.S. Capitol this week was appalling and an affront to the democratic values that we hold dear as Americans. But Schwarzman is one of just a number of GOP benefactors that are suddenly now like having a change of heart. They're pretending to be shocked. They're pretending to be outraged, right? But these are all people they've bankrolled for years. I love the hypocrisy, right? They've been funneling money to people like Ted Cruz for years. Now they're suddenly surprised. They've been funneling money to Josh Hawley for years. They're suddenly surprised. Or Kevin McCarthy. Whoa, we didn't know. And now they get to ride out on their horse and like look good, right? So in the last 24 hours, groups like U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the Koch Network, their American Prosperity Company, Chevron, they've all issued statements. Citibank, what am I missing? Marriott came out. They've all acknowledged the role that they've played in helping elect the politicians who've basically egged and fueled on this attempt to overturn the election. None of them have pledged to stop funding the Republicans who egged on the insurrection and tried to overturn the election. So now the question is whether these sponsors will face any consequences for their decisions to fund this political movement. That's next. Like these, you know, these billionaires, they kept boosting Trump even as he continued to go after America, even as he continued to spout these lies. For instance, Schwarzman, who I talked about earlier. Blackstone. I've talked about him in the summer, too, when he was dancing on the graves of these people who basically were having their rent increased and kicked out of properties. And he was basically saying in that private call that he couldn't wait for this pandemic to continue because he at Blackstone Group was going to make a lot of money by buying up a lot of these properties from people. He was going to be super happy that you were going to be kicked out of your house. And he was also very happy to tell on the conference call that he was raising rents on poor Americans during the pandemic. That's Steve Schwarzman of Blackstone Group. He's the billionaire. He's one of Wall Street's leading donors to Donald Trump. and the Republican machine. In fact, he got himself appointed to a White House business council that shaped federal policies that affected him and his private equity firm. Does he get to walk away from this without his hands being dirty? He became the leading finance industry cheerleader for Trump's reelection. He donated $40 million into the Republican Party groups and a Trump super PAC during the 2020 election cycle. In fact, according to Bloomberg, Bloomberg reported that Schwarzman was the single-handedly, he has single-handedly accounted for the vast bulk of reported contributions towards Trump's reelection efforts over the last 18 months. 31 different bank investment firms. So are his hands dirty? So now Schwarzman, even after the election, defended Donald Trump's response. And during an emergency meeting of business leaders that were alarmed by the president's nutbag claims, he even defended him then, just a few weeks ago. Bloomberg also said that Schwarzman took issue with suggestions during the meeting that the U.S. could be on the verge of a coup. He said Trump was within, quote, was within his rights to challenge the outcome of the election. Schwarzman pumped $15 million into a super PAC that was boosting Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue in Georgia, who had both said they would support the challenging of the Electoral College certification during their campaigns. So all of this money, I mean, that's just one example. That you have like a person like Stephen Schwarzman or these other people who threw their support and money behind these people. You know, should it matter to pension funds and other investors doing business with Blackstone Group and its companies? Like, if you knew that you were invested in your 401k or a pension fund that was in a group backed by a guy like Stephen Schwarzman, who was dancing on the homes of people who are being evicted and raising rents during a pandemic, would you want your investments to enrich this guy? Think about it. It relies on billions of dollars of investments from state and local pension funds. So, you know, fire departments and others, teachers, public workers, firefighters. Like in Pennsylvania, my home state, for instance, they paid more than $300 million of investment fees to Schwarzman's firm. So because he's managing all these pensions, Blackstone, he's making all this money off of pensions from state and local governments. And how did he repay it? Oh, he repays Republican politicians who tried to invalidate Pennsylvania's election. And the same thing at the federal level. These are stories. This is a story you will not see on the mainstream media. I will not see MSNBC covering this story or CNN, because wouldn't it be nice to know their ties to these types of people? How much money has been flowing through those coffers? That's just one of these big, you know, so when you start to follow this money from these politicians, you start to see, you know, these different, when these donors are pulling their money back, you're going to start to see a change of heart. Like Pat Toomey, for instance, who suddenly had a change of heart and wants him gone and thinks that he's criminal. Criminal charges.
Skip Alaska says President Trump should resign. She said, quote, he's caused enough damage. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think at this point, with just a few days left, it's the best path forward, the best way to get this person in the rearview mirror for us. That could happen immediately. I'm not optimistic it will, but I do think that would be the best way forward.
The House is moving ahead with impeachment proceedings this week. Republican Senator Ben Sasse said the president, quote, disregarded his oath of office, that he would consider articles of impeachment. Do you think the president should be impeached? Would you vote to remove him from office?
So I think the president did commit impeachable offenses. There's a little doubt in my mind about that. I don't know as a practical matter that it is actually even possible to do an impeachment in the handful of days that are left. It's likely that if the House does pass articles of impeachment. We wouldn't get them till, I don't know, Tuesday or Wednesday. We're literally less than 1 week to go at that point. I'm also not at all clear that it's constitutionally permissible to impeach someone after they have left office. So there may not be a viable impeachment route at this point, but certainly he could resign, and that would be a very good outcome.
Get out of here. Get out of here is what you're saying. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Should he be impeached? Let me know. Drop me a chat right now. Let's check in on some of our super chats here while we're, I've got more news to get to. I want to get to more stimulus news here from Bernie Sanders. I also want to talk about the media empire. Free Fra, thank you for your super chat, says China puts you on a no-fly list for spitting on the floor to lose social credit score. No one is safe. America's social credit score. Let's go, baby. A social credit score.
I think that's like something they implemented in China or whatever. There's something about a social credit score. Like if you do certain things, your credit score goes down and then you, you lose.
Social credit score.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Darren Walagora says they should have to watch the inauguration from their prison cell. Baller says QAnon made people crazy. Primal Plasma, police have to wait for you to actually do the crime before they can arrest you. I trust that there are secret technologies that were tracking him. Angela says CNN and mainstream media have mentioned countrywide inauguration protests. I've definitely heard and read articles about the 17th of January being a problem. That is definitely scary. I don't know. What do you guys make of this idea that Michael Moore's talking about with that there's going to be they're calling people to rally, get their guns, come to the Capitol, et cetera. I mean, that's really troubling. Kara Openshaw says, Clayton, I hope your dad gets better soon. Thank you so much. DK7 or Z32, if Trump is impeached, do you think they will try to storm the Capitol again? Well, I think we just heard from Michael Moore on that. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I guess what kind of force are you going up against? I mean, that would be a true, people want to throw around this idea of a coup. Okay, these guys were clowns. I mean, a real coup? Come on. Like a coup is when people get killed, really killed. I mean, by the hundreds, right? And the toppling of institutions. I mean, these clowns were going through taking selfies. Like, was it really a coup? I mean, I think these people, I don't know. They wanted destruction. A lot of them seemed organized that they wanted to try to take captive some of these members of Congress. I don't know what, if they were really organized, if they had some real plan of a coup. But I think the mainstream media has been throwing around that term. And I don't think it's right. I know. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I don't really believe that. I think these guys are more clowns than they wanted to get selfies inside the Capitol and smash some stuff and go home and tell their kids, you know.
You can literally call the U.S. Senate right here.
Like he's just making phone calls, you know. But I don't know. Do you think it was a coup attempt? I mean, I think, insurrection is a better way to maybe praise it. I don't know. Or at the time, they thought they were just coming to D.C. for a rally, and then they were there. They're like, I'm glad I did bring these zip ties because I'm going to put them to good use this afternoon.
Well, you know what's kind of funny is this is the same kind of stuff we do in other countries to overthrow their elections. Like, we cause all this chaos. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like they let them in, they let them out. Like, it just seems like, is this some kind of CIA op? You know, like, are we overthrowing our own election? Like, what's going on here?
Right. I mean, are they organized? And the question I have is, well, typically there's someone on the inside that's involved in that process, right? There's typically people inside the government that are involved in the process of a coup. And so I think the larger sort of conspiracy question is, well, why were these police officers not supported? Why were the National Guard not invited? Why did they repeatedly ask them to come and they were rebuked? That to me is the heart of this. This could have been stopped immediately. Well, that's if there's going to be some large scale demonstration on the inauguration next week, they better be prepared.
Well, and that's like
we're talking about it here on this show. We know about it.
Talking with my friend and kind of arguing, like, he's like, well, the police weren't prepared. But the thing is, you were talking about the center of our government. And the center of our government was not prepared for some Trump supporters. Like, does that make any sense at all that our Capitol was so unprotected that a group of Trump supporters were able to get into the Capitol and do what they did in the epicenter of our government, where Trump just was. The president of the United States was just there. Whenever the president goes in, they have mass security everywhere protecting that area. And all of a sudden, where are they at? You know, just,
well, we were having the same. Yeah, my wife and I were having the same debate last night. Not a debate, but we were in agreement. We're like, you know, how is this possible? Like, we spend $740 billion a year. We're worried about showing force in the South China Sea so that China thinks we're strong. Building new aircraft carriers so that the world thinks we're strong. By the way, did you see the new aircraft carrier they built? Apparently jets can't land on it. It's having problems. They can't, like, they didn't build it right. Bye-bye to that money.
What was that, probably 40, 50 million, 100 million?
Oh, I'm sure billions to build an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't.
Right?
But we can't. They're not on Amazon.
You're right, so they're not on Amazon. But all these guys, like, the seat of government, they're all there. All members of Congress are there that day. For this historic certification of the election, President Trump is across the street.
Pence was inside.
Vice President Pence. All of them are there. It's not like that show, Designated Survivor, right? They're all there. You know, on when the State of the Union address, right? When the State of the Union happens, they leave a designated survivor of the cabinet back at the White House to watch it from there in case there's some sort of massive. Like, this is not a joke anymore. Like, we thought these movies about a pandemic were like, this is never going to happen to us, you know? Like the movie Contagion. Well, this can't happen to us, right? We watched this you know, Kiefer Sutherland TV show, Designated Survivor. This can't happen to us. Hello? It almost did. How are we the richest country in the world with the best military in the world, and we can't even protect our own Capitol building? It's appalling. So no wonder all of these big media companies have come out and, you know, deleted his Twitter account and a Parler. Of course, the conservative app, and the CEO is fighting back, saying that this is an affront to free speech. So Parler has been pulled off of Amazon, Amazon Web Services, which runs the back end for almost the entire internet, right? It's been pulled off of. I was surprised to see that YouTube, that Google still has Donald Trump's YouTube page up. Like, his videos, his normal YouTube channel are still there. They pulled down Steve Bannon's channel yesterday. Like I said, Parler's been removed. Pinterest removed Donald Trump. Like, first of all, who knew that Donald Trump had a Pinterest page? Like, he's curating recipes over there. Like, he loves... This is what he wants to do in his new living room. Recipe for hatred. Right. It's in, yeah, it's in his column, Recipe for Hatred.
Right next to Big Macs.
It is Big Macs and craft projects. This is his. He has a whole he has a whole craft section where he does scrapbooking on Pinterest. So all of these big companies have taken his stuff down. When he jumped over to the POTUS account, his four tweets there were deleted. So his main Twitter account was deleted, and then they complained, and he complained about it over on his other POTUS account, and he said, quote, Democrats and the radical left, and he pledged that he's going to explore building out his own platform in the near future. So let me ask you this question in the chat right now. If you're watching, drop me a comment. Do you think President Trump will create his own media platform? Now, this has been my theory a long time. I mean, in fact, it's beyond a theory because when I was at Fox years ago in 2016, 2015, producers and anchors were being courted to come be a part of this like new Trump media project. He loved the idea of he himself being like a Roger Ailes or a Rupert Murdoch, right? And to be able to control the media. And he never wanted to become president, as we know. He wanted to have his own media company. Build up his brand enough by running for president that have enough support that he could launch and be the voice opposite Fox News and say that Fox isn't conservative enough or whatever. So now he really has that, right? He's built up this massive audience that when he says go storm the Capitol, they go storm the Capitol. So now he the other day says that he wants to build his own platform because now Twitter has taken him down. And this is sort of a vague promise, right? And it was floated by the Trump campaign in late 2016. What he might do is start his own television network. So it makes sense that Trump would want to build his own impregnable, you know, fortress, I suppose, where no one can police his speech. And he maintains his big, huge base right now. And he's communicating at all hours of the day on Twitter. But wouldn't he love to be able to have his own platform? So he desperately, of course, wants to maintain and continue to try to preserve this momentum. But if you look at what happened to somebody like Alex Jones, who was deplatformed, or Glenn Beck, who left national television, he's never really able to. He started that Blaze network, but it's never really caught on. Like, Glenn Beck has never had the power that he had when he was on television and the radio. So, I mean, will someone like leave him for someone more compelling or entertaining? Right? That's, I think, his biggest fear, that he wants to be the guy, right? So let's say that let's play this out a second. Let's say that he decides to start a cable channel to go up against CNN, MSNBC, Fox, etc. And then assume for a second that he can raise hundreds of millions of dollars, which is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of money for him now to be able to raise. Who's going to pony up money now? All these big corporate donors are pulling money away from him.
Well, it's not like anybody's going to back the backbone for, you know, syndication or anything like that. Like, he's going to have his own servers. He'd have to have his own infrastructure.
Right.
Because nobody's going to back that.
Exactly. Who's going to bankroll that? And if you look at Trump historically, like, he's always used other people's money for his ventures. He's written a book on it, for crying out loud. Like, how to use other people's money to invest. Like, he doesn't do it himself. So what kind of luck is he going to have, you know, getting AT&T, Comcast, Verizon, and all these other big cable companies to carry his new channel? Is he going to? Remember, you probably covered this on your show. He has no friends at AT&T, right? I mean, that was that big merger with Time Warner that he fought against as president. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to do anything to help him, right? What about Comcast? Or I'm sorry, like AT&T and Time Warner, right, which now owns CNN. They're not going to help him. Comcast doesn't want any. What, Comcast owns MSNBC, right?
I think MSNBC would probably argue that RT might do it, but.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, the Russia, was it Russia Times, Russia Today? Or
Russia Television,
called?
Yeah. I actually find them to be a really good news source, but.
It is funny to see that they actually will call attention to stuff that other people won't. Mm-hmm. Not even Oprah Winfrey could do this, right? As the New York Times pointed out, not even Oprah Winfrey could do this in 2016. I mean, she's like, what, the queen of all media. She couldn't even take her own personal television franchise into turning it into a cable, like OAN, the O network, right? No one watched it. It collapsed. It turns out people just wanted to watch Oprah. So is President Trump going to start a 24-hour news channel that's like based around him? And will he have one show that'd be the only show people would watch?
They should do it like
so
the Truman
Trump
Show.
Do something?
The Trump Show, where it just follows right. him around 24/7 and in his house. And
God, can you imagine? Like the Osbournes. Hey, yeah. Now that Kim Kardashian doesn't have a show anymore, yeah, maybe that's the way to
Melania,
do it.
Melania, please bring me my sandwich.
And remember, actually. Where's my Big Mac? Melania, can you come rub my bunions again? You know, and Oprah Winfrey was, dare I say, far more appealing than President Trump. You know, just from a content perspective. Like uplifting things that she would want to do. Making you a better person. So, but let's say that Trump does the unlikely here. If you think, you know, and if you think Fox right now has been like distancing itself from him, just wait, right? Because once he starts something, they're going to go after him tooth and nail. Because if any threat to their viewership, Rupert Murdoch is going to pull the governor off of that thing, right? And also, what about like Newsmax and OAN? You know, he tweets about them all the time. Well, now if he creates his own network, do you think that they're going to be as Trump-loving as they are right now? You're going to see a dramatic shift suddenly, won't you? So the only real question I see, I've seen floated around, is this idea that maybe Trump should buy Newsmax. They were talking about this back in November. We talked about it here on the show, or even the OAN network. But then again, that would, like, Fox would go right after you, right? Good luck there.
Well, and just having his name tied to it, they might be like, yeah, we're not hosting that anymore. Whoever's hosting it or whoever's bankrolling it, like, no, we're not doing that anymore.
Right, that's the real question. Would Comcast, would Time Warner going to host the Trump television network? So the fastest way maybe is for him to get his own, like, would be to, like, try to get into some of the Fox or Sinclair stations, like, and try to do, like, a nightly show. Maybe, like, he could ask to do his own show. Maybe.
I guess he could do public access television.
Yeah, right. He could buy, like, a public access slot, right? But maybe he does. Like, maybe Fox gives him his own show at night.
He's on Fridays right after that? Wayne's World.
Right. Oh, I don't know. I just don't see it. I don't know. I don't see how this, at this stage, now that he's really screwed himself, I don't see how he creates his own, I don't see how he creates his own media network now. Again, he could try to do the same thing that Glenn Beck did with the Blaze Network, maybe. It's got like a series of, you know, blog posts and videos and so forth. And okay, big deal. Is that what he's going to want to do? He wants to think bigger, right? He was the president. He's going to want his own big thing. I just don't know what is. I don't see him being on a cable channel anytime soon. His best bet would have like been to have his own YouTube channel, right? Or something like that, like a paid service that you'd pay for, like InfoWars or something like that. But then no one really wants. I mean, that's like tiny, tiny audience. He's never going to get the kind of audience he'd have by, you know, being on a Fox News or that sort of a platform, or even a YouTube channel, for crying out loud, right? I mean, my YouTube channel right here drives more views than Newsmax does. Isn't that crazy? Like, our channel gets more views on almost every show than a lot of these like cable news networks. Isn't that crazy? So subscribe. So let's talk a little stimulus now. Bernie Sanders, you know, yesterday we reported that Senator Joe Manchin has thrown water, cold water, on the idea of $2,000 stimulus checks. He wants them to be targeted. And he doesn't think that just giving out stimulus checks is going to be the answer. He'd rather do a large infrastructure project. Well, Joe Biden supports stimulus checks. And remember, those two senators who just won an election in Georgia also supported stimulus checks. So now the Democrats are in a bit of a bind. Joe Manchin of West Virginia. Yesterday, I put up, if you watch our video yesterday, I have a phone number of Senator Joe Manchin for his office on our screen or in our description of our show notes for yesterday. So please call his office. Tell him that you want him to support working class people to not pull back on, you know, issuing $2,000 stimulus checks. By the way, what is the means test for that? You know, oh, you have a job, but we don't know at the Congress that your hours have been cut. So on paper, you still look like you have a job. Therefore, you shouldn't receive a stimulus check. But wait a second, Mr. Senator, my hours have been cut by 50%. So now I can't pay my bills. But on paper, I look like I still have my job, which I do. I don't deserve a stimulus check. That's the kind of crap I can't stand. And that's what he's talking about. So Bernie Sanders has an idea on how to gain some leverage in this entire process. He'll be the incoming chairman of the Budget Committee in the Senate. And he talked about that.
And what we have got to do, let me just be very clear, as the incoming chairman of the Senate Budget Committee, I remember what happened in 2010. And that is, the Democrats during the 2008-2010 period controlled the White House, they controlled the Senate, control the House. You remember that? Mm-hmm. And you remember what happened in 2010? Democrats got wiped out. They had the power, but they did not deliver for the American people. So what we have got to do right now, no ifs, buts, or maybes, is have an aggressive agenda that says we understand that millions of people, including my neighbors right here in Vermont, people lining up in their cars in order to get emergency food. People can't pay their medical bills. People are going deeper and deeper into debt. People are facing eviction. Millions of people have lost their jobs. We have to act, and act now. And the first order of business, by the way, is to pass an emergency COVID-19 bill, which, among many other things, says to working class Americans, we know you're in pain, and we're going to get you a $2,000 check for every working class adult in this country. We are on your side. We are prepared to take on the big money interests who have so much power. We're going to expand healthcare to cover the uninsured. We're going to deal with student debt. We have got to be bold in a way that we have not seen since FDR in the 1930s. And if we do not do that, those millions and millions of people who vote for Trump, they're going to continue to believe that government does nothing for them. And we've got to change that attitude. The only way I know how to do that is to do the work that the people need us to do. And by the way, we have got to develop grassroots organizing all over this country. Instead of investing in consultants and 30-second TV ads, we need to put tens of millions of dollars into neighborhood and community organizing all over this country. Talk to people, knock on their doors, not just the week before the election, but 2 years before the election. Listen to what they have to say. Can they afford health care? Can they afford prescription drugs? So we need to be bold.
Imagine if he was president. But the networks, mainstream media, tried to keep him from you. MSNBC blackballed him, basically. CNN wouldn't put him on the air. They don't want a guy like this who supports working class people and doesn't support Wall Street. Imagine how different we'd be sitting right now. This was the president of the United States.
And I will do everything in my power to see the Congress moves in that direction.
It's hard to be bold. I mean, you know better than anybody. When the Senate, yes, Democrats can, will have a majority with Vice President Harris at the top of it. But in order, it's not 60 votes, which to really get big things done, you'd probably need more than the majority that they have, no?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yes and no. There's a lot that we can do through Biden's executive actions. Trump showed us the power of executive orders. It's not the best approach, but there's a lot that you can do. On day one, you can make sure that you undo all of the racist, anti-immigrant legislation that Trump has promulgated over the years. What you can also do is use what we call budget reconciliation. I won't bore you with the crazy rules of the United States Senate. But in fact, we can move forward with 50.
That's when he goes in to talk about budget reconciliation, where they can move forward and vote with just 50 members of the Senate and push through a lot of these things. So we don't need Mitch McConnell. We don't need all their support in this. We can move forward on stimulus immediately. And I love what Bernie Sanders is saying there, is that we have an opportunity right away to get in there, to pass meaningful stimulus right away, to show that this government actually works for the American people. That when you elect these people who said they were going to pass $2,000 stimulus checks, that you actually pass $2,000 stimulus checks. People will know that their vote counted in Georgia towards something that could help them, their families, instead of continuing to help Wall Street. So I hope all of you called Senator Joe Manchin's office yesterday. Last night on the show, we had upwards of 20,000 people watching. See, many of you said you called. Please call. The phone number, again, is in the show description for yesterday's live stream last night with Joe Manchin's picture on the thumbnail. Go to that video. Grab his phone number. Call his office. It's a 202 area code in Washington, D.C. Leave him a message. Tell him that if you're going to do targeted stimulus checks, I still have my job. My hours have been cut. When you do targeting, that doesn't take into account that I now can't pay my bills. Make him understand that. Make him understand how badly you're hurting right now. Hopefully, he'll have a change of heart. Especially our West Virginia viewers. I hope you're watching this morning, because let him know that, like, you're gonna throw him out when he's up for re-election. I think in 2 years or next year. So that is the very latest on that. I want all of you to subscribe to our daily newsletter. We are hitting new records, and I'm super excited about all your support. We provide our daily newsletter every day, Monday through Friday. And go to morninginvest.com. Just put in your email address right there on the screen, and we'll send you a welcome email. I think it might go to your junk mail sometimes. Be careful. If it goes to your junk, then just drag it into your inbox. You know, if you use Gmail, it might go to your promotions folder. Gmail has a whole bunch of new wacky folders. If it goes there, then just drag it over to your inbox and set it as a VIP, and then you'll get it every morning, first thing in the morning. We publish it around 6:30 in the morning. We hope you really enjoy it. We put a lot of work into that. Grover appreciates your support as well. He's suspect, as my kids say in Among Us. He's sus for stealing my slipper. He's totally sus.
Still got the kids that one say that. Right? I don't
even. Yeah. Because I think one of when he was a baby or something, when we got him, I think one of his ears is not fully, like, it's clipped or something, or it like got hooked. I don't know how it, maybe that's just how he was born. My wife says, there's nothing wrong with him. I know, but I'm just saying, like, we didn't do it. You know, some people actually crazy, like they clip tails and ears. You know, that freaks me out. So it's common for them to just have one ear pop up. Is it? Get a freeze frame of this. Is that common, David? You're a dog guy, I think.
For the ear to flop over?
Yeah, like yeah, one ear to flop and one to stand tall. Is that normal?
How old is he?
Oh, he just turned 11 months yesterday. He's 11 months now.
Sometimes it fixes itself over time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it's common.
How many of you have received your stimulus checks? Let me know in the chat. Many of you still saying you're waiting on it. You know, the IRS made them a huge mistake. They sent out stimulus checks to millions of accounts. Wrong accounts. I just love that we spend so much money making other countries better, pumping billions of dollars around the world. We build aircraft carriers that jets can't land on because they didn't have a measuring tape handy when they were building it. Spending billions of dollars. And they can't manage to send out stimulus checks.
How long did you think? I don't know. Just like, George. I don't know. Make it like 40 feet. I don't know.
Are we doing meters or feet? All right, we're gonna launch a few aircraft, see how many of them land, how many of them crash into the ocean. Ready? Go. Maverick. Then they have to retrofit these massive, massive battleships because they designed them wrong. Rowena says, yeah, we got our stimulus check, but not my kids. Adam L. says, I got mine invested, part of it in gold. Good for you. By the way, if you're interested in investing in gold, you should, because when we talk about keeping this money out of the corrupt government right now, keep your money out of the U.S. dollar. Keep your money out of Wall Street. One way to do it is with gold. And, you know, this is where I buy gold, and you should too if you're going to do it. And you get a free gold kit to learn more about the process at Birch Gold. Just go to morninginvest.com/gold to learn more about it. It's like a 20-page free information kit. And you can buy gold and silver there, and they're really fantastic. They do a great job. And you can learn all about the process of buying gold. So many of you over the past year have asked me, like, where is the best place, the most reputable place? Where can I go and buy gold? You do not want to buy paper gold. So, like, someone just says, I got mine and I invested part of it in gold. Do not buy Wall Street fake gold, which is like paper in gold, like a stock in gold. Don't do that.
Like this. Oh, okay. I was going to say, like the silver certificates.
Yeah, no, you want actual gold. Actual Gold Eagle coins, those are the best, and even Canadian Maple Leaf coins, etc. But through Birch Gold, they'll walk you through that process. And I think their minimum to buy gold with them is $5,000 purchase. So no, many of you are going to say, Clayton, I don't have that. I understand. I'm just telling you, don't shoot the messenger. But then you can also buy silver for cheaper than gold, and silver is fantastic. Silver prices have been really great for thousands of years. Gold, silver, real estate, folks. Gold, silver, real estate. These are assets that cannot be futzed with by the U.S. government. And it's not government currency like the U.S. dollar, which is not backed by anything anymore.
They can't fund
these currencies around the world.
They can't futz with the dingus.
They can't futz with the dingus. Are you like me? How many of you guys are chapstick addicts?
I used to eat it.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I used to scrape it on my teeth. Yeah. I don't know why. My mom would be like, who's been eating this chapstick?
Well, doctors will be able to draw a direct line back to that point in your life. Yeah. Some people, yeah, like, do you remember Carmex? Remember hearing the stories about Carmex? I never used that stuff, but people would say, like, oh, it keeps you addicted. Because people would say those little pieces of, like, fiberglass in there, and it cuts your lips, and then you put... I never believed that. That's a conspiracy theory. But I just would get, the Burt's Bees or whatever. I always have it in my pocket. My mom used to... She used to flip out at me, though, as a kid growing up, because if I left a chapstick in my pocket and she would wash my pants, then it would melt, and it would permanently ruin the pants or shirts or T-shirts. I can't tell you how many T-shirts I ruined where the wax, melted, and it was, melted into my T-shirt. My mom used to get really angry at me. I learned my lesson, though. I never, when I take my pants off, I always check my pockets first and take things out of my pockets. So I'm using the hibiscus blossom today. Hibiscus blossom. Delicious.
I bet that smells good.
Well, folks... It does. You want to eat this?
I probably would. I wonder what that would taste like.
Hibiscus blossom. Were you one of those kids too that would eat butter at a restaurant?
No, my mom did though. When my mom was a kid, she used to get sticks of butter and hide and eat them, the whole stick. God. So I guess the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Right. Now I know what to get you for your birthday next year. Just box of chapsticks and a couple of sticks of butter. Natalie, my wife, she when she was a kid, she used to do that. She used to steal sticks of butter also. Now my little girl, none of my other kids did this, but my littlest, Eve, she's 4 years old. When we go out to, place or whatever, she'll grab one of the little butter things, and she's eating the little butter packet. Tells you how times have changed, because when I was a kid, I used to grab sugar packets, off the table. And I used to, we'd go to a diner or something, and I'd rip those open and almost like Fun Dip.
Those pixie stick my finger things in the not sugar the pixie packet. Sticks. Yeah.
No, you remember Fun Dip where it had the three different types and it had a stick that had, lick it and you'd stick it in there?
And the stick was the best part?
Yeah, the stick was the best part, but you had to ration it throughout all of the sugar. What genius came up with this idea, right? Three packets of sugar that are colored a different, they have a different taste. One's like a Sour Patch taste, one's a cherry or whatever, and a vanilla stick that you dip it in. Is it any wonder that we're the fattest country in the world, by the way?
I told you about that comic I saw where they were, it said weapons of mass destruction, and it was planes dropping forks and knives over the United States.
Yeah. Sad, but true. Fun Dip is still out there, Kathy says.
It is. You could go get a Fun Dip today if you wanted. You could probably get them on Amazon if you want.
Wow.
You know, Jennifer and I were talking about the other day were Pop Rocks. You remember those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was always scared of those.
Why, you believe the rumor of you believe the rumor of that kid, Mikey, from Life Cereal, who ate those with Coca-Cola and burned a hole in his stomach?
right. Yeah. Yeah, I just always thought, what if I got a bad batch? If I got a bad batch of Pop Rocks, they weren't tempered or something, it would just explode my mouth. Do you remember hearing the stories of people would take Alka-Seltzer and throw them at seagulls?
Yeah. I
thought that was awful. Yeah, how many calories are in a chapstick? Yeah.
Not enough.
You used to eat sticks of butter, didn't you, when you were a kid? Yeah, she used to eat it straight. We also
eat it straight, as opposed to the people straight. Who sprinkle stuff on it or put Topachio right. Or Topatico or whatever it's called.
Topatio.
Yeah
Big Chew bubble gum.
I eat my butter straight.
Straight candy cigarettes. I get them started early. Look, Dad, I'm just like you.
I love the ones that had the little bit of powder in the end, so when you blew out, it looked like smoke came out of the end. So then you felt cool.
Those were
for
the best.
Yeah,
and they were in the little... I mean, again, this was... Who thought of this? I got an idea for kids. They probably were created by the Philip Morris company, right? How can we get these kids hooked at an early age? I know. Let's put some powdered sugar in these things, so when these kids blow these sticks of gum out, they look real.
Basically equivalent of a candy hypodermic needle.
Right. Oh, the wax lips?
Oh, yeah.
Remember
I love
wax
those.
Wax lips?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, did you eat those, too?
I didn't swallow them, but yeah, I chewed them.
Jeez. What about turtle wax? Did you eat that?
No. You mean for washing cars? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no. Mitch McConnell
just
probably
wondering
does.
It, like, what... I was wondering, like, what your wax threshold was growing up.
Yeah, it was just chapstick, like, I believe.
Just chapstick. Like, I love chapstick. What about candles?
Nope, never.
What about, like,
nope. Never I did candle? Like to dip my fingers in the wax and let it harden and then peel it off.
Yeah. Oh, I still do.
Yeah.
I like that.
I used
that.
To coat my hand in Elmer's glue and then peel it off.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about pet peeves the other day. Do you have any? Like, I can't stand. You ever get like a cuticle? It's like ripped up on your finger, or like a pee, you know, and it gets caught on like cotton.
Mm-hmm.
You get like a pointy part of your finger. I can't stand that.
No, I
that
can't.
That drives me nuts.
I can't stand the thought of licking cardboard.
Oh.
It's like fingers on a chalkboard. Once I think of it, I get that my mouth like clenches up.
Good thing they don't make chapstick in cardboard containers, right?
Exactly. Like those cardboard straws, I can't stand using those because of the way that whole feeling. So every time I get a cardboard straw, I have to remove it. Like I have to drink right out of the glass because I just can't do it.
You know, that's the way we're moving. We're not going to have plastic straws soon. You're going to have to bring your own glass. You know, they sell those metal and glass straws. My wife has a couple of friends. They have them in their purse. They're reusable. And
yeah,
it's just like you can order them. It comes in a case and it's just like a glass straw.
I'm probably going to have to do that. Bring my own.
Start bringing that. Bring that along with your chapstick when you go out. Yeah. Oh boy. What a show. So we'll be back here later this afternoon with our 4 p.m. Eastern live show. So be sure to turn on that bell notification. I'm going to be watching at 2 p.m. Eastern what happens with the House of Representatives moves towards impeachment, how quickly we can get a stimulus bill on the floor of the House, and how quickly it could be passed by the Senate. We're also watching. I want to see when exactly the Senate will be seating those two senators, David Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, who just won the Senate. I mean, first of all, I can't even believe we're talking about this, that Democrats now control the Senate. They control the House. They control the White House. If they can't pass some meaningful legislation in the next few weeks, next few months, you know.
You mean like stimulus?
Exactly. Like, if you cannot pass stimulus when you control everything. Although it's interesting to see a little history lesson here. I was talking about this last night, but you know, President Trump is set to be like Andrew Johnson, who was impeached, the first president to be impeached. He's leaving Washington under sort of the same circumstances because Ulysses S. Grant hated him and vice versa. They did not like each other. So Ulysses S. Grant, of course, you know, General Grant, winner of the Civil War, becomes president of the United States. And he didn't attend his inauguration. Andrew Johnson just like got on a horse, just left Washington. So President Trump would be the first president since Andrew Johnson. And they have something similar. They have something in common. They were impeached. Isn't that funny? Be the first president since Andrew Johnson to leave and not attend inauguration. Although Vice President Pence said he will be attending inauguration. So there you go. All right, folks, much love to all of you. We will see you back here this afternoon. Until then, everyone, be safe, be kind to each other, and don't eat chapstick.
No. Or butter.